Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Feel Good Weddings podcast by Polka Dot Wedding. My name is Dorothy, otherwise known as Miss Polka Dot, and I'm the founder and editor. We believe in seeking out content that is inclusive and diverse so that everyone can see themselves in the stories that we tell. We've done this for 15 years through the written word, and now we want to have those chats in voice through a podcast. I can't wait for you to see what we have in store. The Polka Dot Wedding team is honoured to conduct our work on the land of the Boonwurrung, Woi Wurrung, Eora and Kurungi people. We honour the traditional Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander custodians of the land, and we pay our respects to elders past and present. Hello and welcome. We have another real wedding episode for you today of a real life Polka Dot Wedding couple. We are talking to Gavin and Sian today. Gavin and Sian had this beautiful day up at Bellingdale Farm in New South Wales, and we shared this story in 2021. Not only was it a beautiful day because of the romantic details, the golden light, and the incredible views, but it was also a day where, because Sian is a wheelchair user, was beautifully accessible. And Sian worked with us, luckily for us, on a number of pieces about how to have an accessible wedding and how to plan a wedding where you have a wheelchair and it's a little bit trickier. And so today's discussion goes not just through everything that these two did to plan their day in a day that was truly reflective of them, but it also talked about how the wedding industry can become more accessible and the little things we overlook for people that are in wheelchairs and for people that do have accessibility issues. And it's a chat that is really well overdue. We're really committed to the idea that nothing about us without us, and so it's really important to us that the people who face these issues are the ones speaking on them. So we're really thrilled to have Gavin and Sian as our guests today. So hello, Sian and Gavin. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi there.
Happy to be here.
I am so thrilled to talk to you about your day because I remember it so clearly with all the details and such, and then all the preceding posts that Sian worked with us on. But I would love to get started with telling us about the two of you and how you met. Who's going to go first?
We'll let Sian go first here. I want to hear her side of things.
I always call Gav my little stalker because we both love Coldplay. We happen to have both taken our mums to the Coldplay concert back in 2016. And I had checked in on Instagram, as you do, and posted a photo with my mum. Gav was looking through his Instagram, looking at who had checked in, see the photos and the videos from other people's perspectives, stumbled across my photo, thought she's a bit all right, and actually messaged me. We commented first, and we commented back and forth a bit, and then he messaged me saying, do you mind if we keep chatting? And
so it was Coldplay that brought you together. Yeah. and a bit of internet stalking.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So what about you? Do you have any input to that one, Gavin, then?
Not overly. Yes, there was mild tendencies of what some would class as stalking or internet chasing or whatever you want to call it. But
we could just call it romance.
Let's go with romance. Lots of messages backwards and forwards, and then we just kind of, I guess, struck it off, and the rest is history, almost.
And what I love about the two of you and the way that the proposal occurred was it occurred around something that you both called leveling up, which I think is really cool because I love those kinds of stories.
Yep.
So maybe I'll give this one to Gavin to tell. How did this proposal go and how did leveling up play into it?
So we refer to all of our milestones, no matter how big or small, as leveling up. So we are quite we do play a few games together, and leveling up becomes part of a game. So we recently gone unconditional on a property that we were purchasing together. And I'd organized dinner for us to celebrate at Cleveland, down at the Lighthouse Restaurant. And the original plan was to be there for sunset, but Sian may or may not have had a bit of a slow day that day and was taking a little longer to get ready. So we kind of missed that. But after dinner, we went for a quick walk just around the point there to the spot where I asked her to actually be my girlfriend 3 years prior to that. So we sat down and I asked the question, are you wanting to spend the rest of your life with me? Would you like to spend the rest of your life with me? And with her typical amount of sass, she responded saying, "Yeah, you go all right." Well, I was not expecting that in the slightest. Like, that was.
But you wanted to guess.
it kind of threw me out of the field there.
It wasn't a "will you marry me?" It was just, "Are you sure? Are you sure you want to?"
And I kind of laughed it off and put a little smirk on my face and went, "Well, we've already leveled up once this week, so how about we do it again?" And I got down and asked the question, and with the standard amount of tears and emotion and whatnot, Sean said yes.
Finally. After leading you along a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, yes.
I don't know what came first, the tears or the yes. I think it was kind of both at the same time, maybe.
I think it was the tears first.
I feel like no one ever really remembers because it's just a blur at that point. And so you two were originally planning on a New Zealand wedding, but a little thing called a pandemic / panini / whatever we call it anymore changed those plans. So how did that happen and how were you forced to change your plans? Was it the lockdowns and such and the travel restrictions?
So we booked in a venue over there after our recent trip to New Zealand. So we went to Queenstown and had a bit of an excursion around the southern island of New Zealand and fell in love with the vibe and the location, thinking, you know, it was perfect for us. It became obviously difficult when the pandemic and this global issue started to arise and we started to get really worried and thankfully the venue over there was super, super understanding and kind of made it easy for us to, I guess, not withdraw, but they held off for a little bit until we could be certain that we weren't going to be able to make it. So they were really good.
And we ended up having to say with me having a disability and not knowing how COVID might impact me, that it was just, it was a safer option for not just our guests, but also myself and now to just call it early.
Yeah. Mm. So we struggled with sourcing the venue and determining exactly how much floor space was actually accessible. It was a difficult point for us, obviously doing everything via Skype with New Zealand as well. But we had to obviously spend a lot of time looking at that kind of thing. And bringing it back home also made it easier for us to do all that sort of stuff. We unfortunately, and Sean, you can probably talk more on this as well, but we fortunately started to go into a lockdown 2 weeks before our wedding, which was super concerning.
Yep.
But again, global pandemic, what can you do?
So your wedding was at Bellingdale Farm. Can you give me the basics, maybe this one's Sean's turn, of when did you decide to get married? Like why did you decide on those dates? How many people did you invite and how did that sort of basic day unfold in the first place?
Yeah, so we were actually lucky enough to keep our original wedding date, which was really, really special. We knew we wanted to get married on the 23rd because that's actually both Gab and my birthday. Coincidentally, also our anniversary. But then when the original venue came back with availability, April 23rd was an option, which Gab just looked at me and was like, "Actually, that's perfect. That's my grandparents' wedding anniversary. They were about to celebrate their 60th wedding anniversary," and something just really shifted. And Gab was like, "That feels so right to me." And I'm like, "Absolutely, let's do it." And they were really flattered by, I guess, us wanting to kind of continue on the tradition of their love.
Oh.
And then when we did bring it back over to Australia, we knew we wanted the feel of the outdoors, the rustic, nothing too, you know, industrial or that, you know, big city vibe.
Yeah.
And there were a few different options that we did look at, some by virtue of not being accessible throughout, just excluded themselves, but Bellingdale and there was another venue as well, were our top two, but one didn't have the 23rd of April, which we did want to keep, but also just didn't have the accessible accommodation around to have not only myself, but also we wanted the vibe of and the joy to not just be a one-day thing, but a lot of people were going to travel, so we wanted the opportunity to spend some prolonged time with them. So, yeah, we had about 100 people at our wedding, which, I don't know, for us that was large. A lot of that was family with a few close friends. I guess was very fortunate to also fall on the Anzac Day long weekend. So we did have, a lot of people did take the opportunity just to stay for that extended period and catch up with a lot of people that they hadn't been able to see for a long time. I mean, Bellingdale's beautiful. We ended up finding it through their sister venue, Summer Grove Estate. I'd seen that prior to us even getting engaged and thought, wow, that's beautiful. Looked at it, saw this, and it was only a dream that they had created at that stage, but everything that they had advertised and promised just really came to fruition, and it was better than anything I expected. I don't know about you, Gav.
And when we first originally started having discussions with them and we organised a visit to go and see Bellingdale, it was a complete construction site. And, you know, there was a hole in the roof where this tree had been growing through it, and there was a massive hole about the size of a dance floor where the dance floor should be. Like, it was a construction zone, and it was muddy, and it took a lot to really see the vision that they were putting together.
Yeah.
And damn, it was just what we were after.
So you took a bit of a punt on it, really, then.
Kind of, yeah.
It is the venue where you started with your wedding planning, because obviously for you, Sean, being a wheelchair user, that's the most important thing. Like, you don't want to, you know, start with a vision and you can't even execute it. So was that where you started with your planning?
We sat down and said, what are our top three priorities or, like, non-negotiables? Yep. So that for us was the venue. We knew that oftentimes finding somewhere that really ticks all the accessible boxes does come perhaps sometimes a little bit of a higher price tag than some other places. So that was one of our non-negotiables, but then also the dress and for Gav, the photography. So that's where we started. We knew we wanted to lock in the venue though, so that was really, I would say, the first step for us. Once you do that, I guess by virtue of where it is, then the vendors who are close and have any sort of affiliations or know the venue really well, it made it a lot easier because Bellingdale did have a lot of really good connections, and people being a new venue had come in and done their own styling for it for the Tweed Wedding Trail. So that was really, really helpful as well.
Did you set out with a vision of the atmosphere you wanted for your wedding to have?
Most definitely. We wanted it to be like a fun, I guess, inclusive, open day and, well, weekend in the whole sense. So because it was the Anzac Day long weekend, it gave us that opportunity to really have everyone there and spend extended time with, you know, we had people traveling from Sydney and northern Queensland and different areas all across the state. So it made it really worthwhile to push and have that family time connected with a very important day.
Yeah. So family was the most important thing.
Yeah. But the venue itself, we wanted to have something that was really lighthearted and just, we don't take ourselves too seriously. So we really wanted the day to reflect that as well. And I love flowers and all things pretty. And we wanted a chill vibe that was just really soft and just went with the flow. I think that was the other thing that.
I think you mastered that. I think someone's been seeing many, many weddings. I think you mastered
that. And that's something we have to be really careful with whenever we try and plan to go anywhere, is we have to be able to adapt because Sean does use a wheelchair. You know, plans change and can change so quickly, you know, with anything that we go to.
Yep, yep. Where did you start with things like the details? So you love the pretty, which, I mean, is evident. The whole day was so beautiful. Can we talk about your flowers, the cake, the decor? Who did you use? Why did you choose them? All that kind of stuff.
Well, I think, like, anybody who decides to get married or plan an event or anything, I started with Pinterest. I had a very detailed Pinterest board that then led to I have a wedding planner, which then Gav linked into a wedding spreadsheet for all things budgeting, and so that we could keep, we had it on OneDrive so that we could both edit to it. So that's probably where we started, was wanting to bring the dream to life. And that started with finding a florist. As I said before, they have some really great suppliers of vendors who they have used before, who have really good knowledge of the venue, and had the opportunity, being a new venue, to really play around and get creative. So that gave us a lot of really good inspiration as well, to see, you know, what we liked from a whole host of different vendors who had the opportunity to really play and have fun there, and then choose what we wanted to go with.
I remember us going through, you know, the venues do style shoots and that sort of stuff now, and we were like picking, we liked these details on the lights, and we liked, we really like that kind of table setting and that sort of stuff. So, you know, the florist Lola from Lola's Wildflowers did a really great job. You know, I think we added, the details on the light arbors like 2 weeks before. Like, it was, nothing seemed to be an issue for the vendors that we worked with, which was great. It was awesome. Like, it was really important for us to have Sean's grandparents' wedding rings involved as well. And they were attached to a bouquet at the start of the day, and it made it really, really special. So, I guess that's the florist wrap up. For the cake, it was my cousin who made the cake. So, she'd done a few wedding cakes for other family members in the past, and it was almost like, well, that's one space that we can really, you know, get creative with her, and the stuff that she's made in the past was really, really lovely. So we decided on a two-tiered wedding cake with 4 different layers in it, which was amazing, and there was not a piece of cake left by the end of the weekend. So we had a chalk hazelnut and a white chalk blueberry base layer.
As a mud cake.
Like a mud cake style. Oh. So it was really dense and really, really, really delicious.
Yeah.
And then on the top, we had these 2 lighter, fluffier layers of a passion fruit and a coconut cake, which was amazing.
It's a bit treacherous recording this at lunchtime, though, isn't it? Because now I really want cake.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds amazing.
And even going through, you know, I was scrolling through my phone, going back, looking at some photos and stuff, trying to find information for this podcast about our cake flavors, because I'd completely forgotten what flavors we had. And I went back through, and there was photos of like the cake being sliced, and it was yum.
You'll have to get another one made for like every anniversary.
Yep.
Because you haven't frozen it, so you can
mix. Yes, definitely. And for all the other miscellaneous stuff, we, you know, we went through a couple of the local suppliers down there and hired things like charger plates and napkins. And
you had Polaroid cameras as your guest books, didn't you?
Yeah, that probably was just a last-minute add-on, because we had been umming and ahhing about, did we want to have a photo booth? But something that I found across the board at a number of different weddings I've been to is, it's all too high, so you get just your forehead in the photo, or I'll try and lift myself up.
Of course, that's one thing I've never thought of. Of course.
It was something that I really wanted, but just it wasn't really workable. So what was a last minute addition actually worked out really well. And then our guests got to take a whole host of photos home, and I loved it.
I think the guests took home more photos than they snuck in the guest book.
Always the way, though. Always the way. And I think you had quite a traditional layout of your day, didn't you? You just had the normal getting ready, ceremony, photos, reception. Was there anything that you switched up, or is there a reason you wanted to do it that way, or anything about the timeline that you can tell me?
So I'll go first here. When I sort of outlined how I wanted to start the day, being a photographer, I really wanted to get up and be, we stayed at Kingscliff. I really wanted to be down on the beach for sunrise.
Oh, lovely.
It was originally just going to be me and the bridal party or the wedding party, but it soon kind of grew to be my family and then some of Sean's family, and then it was like this big event, and I was like, I was not expecting that. But the whole concept was, you know, everyone gets a little bit nervous on their wedding day, so I thought, let's get down, let's do something that I really love, which is just sitting on the beach and listening to the ocean and that sort of stuff. And we started the day with maybe a little cheeky nip of a scotch that I'd picked off the shelf the night before, and it was a really nice way to start the day.
I love
that. It was great. And then I know Sean was straight into it with hair and makeup and stuff early on.
I spent the night before with my niece, who was one of my junior bridesmaids. So she stayed the night in our room, and then it all started really, really quickly. Everyone just kind of jumped on me and was like, ah! So, I had a wedding playlist that was my pump-up playlist that started as soon as we got in the car, and it was Billy Idol, White Wedding, and we were fist-pumping all the way through the Tweedies land to our venue, and it was just, I think everyone was just so amped up on the excitement. And then we had my dad and my brothers bring my nieces, who are our flower girls. And it was honestly just such a blur. It went so, so quickly. I remember before I put my bridal gown on, I was like, oh my goodness, I haven't shaved my legs yet. So there was one.
The random things to think, isn't it?
So one of my party came straight to the bathroom with me. We were shaving my legs together before throwing my dress on. It was an absolute blur, and you never realise how quickly the day goes.
Yeah.
And I can echo that. Like, what felt like starting at 5 o'clock really early for me, it wasn't even 5 o'clock, it was like 6:30. It was all of a sudden 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, and we had to be at the venue. I'm like, how did that time go past? It went like that.
Yep.
I think one of the other things that we did that was, you know, we felt really strongly about was going with what tradition says in terms of having like the same gender in your bridal party. It was whoever we wanted, who was important to us. That's what we really wanted to reflect.
Mm.
I love that. I think that was like, it was so clear that you were so surrounded by love on your day as well, which I think is like what you want.
Exactly.
That's what you don't want to pick certain sides for certain reasons. No.
Yeah. And I think that there was just so much fun to be had on the day. And from 3 p.m. when the ceremony started, our celebrant, Dave, just knocked it out of the park. He, for me, was one of our standout vendors, and just his vibe really fit everything that we wanted.
Well, that was going to be my next question anyway. It was telling me about Dave. No, you segued me right into it. Tell me about David, because you two wrote your own vows. Was it really important for you to put your own touch on your ceremony, and did he guide you a lot in that?
Yeah, definitely. It was something that was really important to us. We really wanted to say our own message and again, break tradition and not necessarily follow exactly what was. You know, there are certain parts that have to be said legally and all that kind of stuff, but we didn't want it to be just a generic ceremony. And Dave was amazing. Like, he even made a weekend of it. So he came down and stayed at a place at Cabarita for the weekend, and it was really, really nice. He to really kind of set his tone, he came down and met us at Kingscliff, and we were standing up front of the Kingscliff Surf Club the day before, and we went and did like this little run through of the ceremony, and it was so awesome to really have everything sort of set and at ease.
Yeah.
He didn't falter once the whole planning time. You know, he came over and met us early off in the piece, way before we'd even really locked in anything else. And he was a recommendation from
Lewis, who was in my party.
Awesome. Well, that's a rave review, if I've ever heard one.
Yeah. I think just the banter, as Gav mentioned early on, we play some games, one of which is Pokemon, and Dave just so seamlessly weaved all of the little intricacies about us and our relationship so well into painting this beautiful picture at our ceremony. Top notch.
And I guess my last point there was the thing that I remember most from him was that day before when he came and met us, he asked the question, so this mustache I've got on my face. Should I keep it or should I remove it? And we're like, that's your signature. Why? No, keep it. That's the way it is. Keep that there for sure.
Of all the questions you said you were going to ask, I didn't think that would be it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, his biggest priority was just Amy to please and being whatever we needed him to be, which I think is a really great attribute for a celebrant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Attire, which I know is not as straightforward for you both as walking into a shop and trying on what fits. So let's start with Gavin, who is a little bit more straightforward. What did you wear on the day?
So we went to MJ Vale and picked up a suit jacket and some chinos from there. I knew I wanted a really relaxed fit and feel for the whole day. As someone who, when they get nervous, tends to perspire a little bit more than the average person. It was important for me to have something that was cool and easy to change in and out of if I had to change a shirt or something like that. So I didn't have a tie on for the day. None of my bridal party, our wedding party, had ties on for the day.
Yeah.
It was just nice and chilled and relaxed. So, again, just went with our nature.
Yeah.
The other people in my party, my groomsmaid, because that's the kind of people we are, we found her outfit, or Sean found her outfit on a website somewhere, and it was like $25, and we're like, yeah, sign me up, that'll do. And she was really happy with it, so that was really good. And then
she's worn it plenty of times since as well.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
She's getting some good use out of it. And my best man, his jacket and everything was purchased through MJ Vale as well, which was really lovely.
Awesome. And Sian, I know we've talked about this with you a bit on Polka Dot Wedding, but how did you go about finding a dress?
Well, yes, as I said before, something that was the non-negotiable for me was the dress, and that was because I had, before Gavin was even in the picture, like when I would think of into the future about my wedding, I always dreaded that whole shopping, trying on wedding dresses, trying on any sort of attire, really. Being painful, it's quite time consuming. Wedding gowns have so many layers, typically.
Yep.
So for me, it's not a one person job either. So I knew from the outset that I wanted to have my wedding dress made. I had found a wonderful designer by the name of Susan Ogg. Mm. And I found her for my best friend and man of honor, his wedding a few years prior when I was in his wedding party. And I approached her to make my dress, and one of the best decisions I could have made, because she ended up coming to my house when she had first made my bridesmaid's dress for my friend's wedding. Mum and Dad had, and I don't know if Gabby helped me at that stage, but Mum and Dad had taken me up a flight of stairs. So this time around, she was like, let's not do that again. So it worked in really well. She came over to my house multiple times. She's so knowledgeable about what fit my body shape, how to cut the fabric when you are sitting down so it's not bulky or it's not getting caught in the wheels. My mum came to every fitting, and I had a really close friend who came as well to quite a number of the fittings. So between the three of them, they'd get me into this gown every however long. And she was just so open to looking at new options of what could work. I remember there was one week, one of the final fittings, where you're sitting down sometimes. I have flat heels on my shoes, so sitting down that pushes your knees a little bit further apart, which I didn't want. So she looked at, hey, let's just add some bamboo fabric in underneath as the first layer. That can keep the knees together and just sit really well. For someone who prior to me, from what I understand, hadn't made a dress for anyone in a wheelchair before, just the knowledge that she possessed and was able to bring to the table to work with all of my needs and to make the dress of my dreams was unbelievable.
That's just so wonderful to hear, because I know how challenging it must be to get into a shop even. Like, you're not even, before you even start for the dress, you've got to get into the shop. And we know that many dress shops, unfortunately, are not accessible. So to be able to find a designer that even comes to your house because she realizes that's an issue in the first place and then tick all the other boxes is amazing.
Yeah, and trying to, even if you can get into the shop, doesn't mean you'll get into the fitting rooms, especially if you need more space for the wheelchair and whomever is going to help you get into whatever you want to wear.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'd be out sort of near the windows or with the rest of the patrons coming in, and it was a very nerve-wracking process.
I suppose, too, designing a dress where you're sitting is very different to designing a dress for someone who was standing. So it's wonderful that she was able to take that into consideration for you as well.
Yeah, she was just very, very knowledgeable and even down to let's use this material instead, or how this but undercoated with this.
I feel like you two had an epic dream team, but you were just surrounded by amazing vendors.
Yeah.
So the next vendor I wanted to chat about was your photographer, because you said Gavin's a photographer. So that means your standards are pretty high and you chose Fig Tree.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about the choice of Fig Tree and Fig Tree Pictures and how you went about choosing them?
So, yeah, as you said, it was always very important for us to have a photographer that we felt comfortable with, and again, we could tell them, or not tell them, but have them work with us to find things that met our needs.
Yeah,
we wanted the photos to obviously be very personable and not look awkward and staged, because it can be quite difficult to take photos when one person's sitting and one person's standing. So that was something that we really wanted to work with them on, and they were so happy to accommodate that need. We were really sold on, or I was really sold on, the consistent look of their photos and videography. So across multiple different shoots and locations, they were very consistent and everything seemed very, very, I don't want to say uniform and all of the same, but their photographers were just so on the money every single time. And I remember when we got our photos back, there was nearly 700 photos from the photographer, and we're like, wow, this is more than we could ever expect from them. When we first met their team, it was 2 weeks out from our wedding. It was a rainy, gloomy, grey day when we were going for our engagement shoot, which was supposed to obviously be posed shortly after our engagement, but due to pandemic and everything else, that kind of got left right until the end. So the photographer, Camilla, was just amazing. She was always prepared, had everything we needed for that day, and then was always reaching out going, is there anything else you need? What else can we do to make this as easy as possible for you? And she just made it fun. And again, that fit our needs really well.
Yep. Are there any other amazing standout vendors? You've given lots of rave reviews today, but any others that you'd like to give a shout out to that helped your day?
I think another one for me would be Mitchell from Strictly Bridal Dance.
Oh, yeah.
He choreographed our first dance, and being in a wheelchair, I've never quite learned how to dance comfortably for me. So that was probably the other aspect of our wedding that I was not looking forward to as much as other aspects. But Mum and Dad got us dance lessons with Mitch for, I think it was like 6 weeks or something. We go over to his studio and down to what, because he actually did our first dance, but also my dance with my dad. Choreographed that also. So he is a professional dancer himself, but we look at our songs, look at the beats and what would work for me and what moves would work, and then just created this masterpiece that we had to learn.
There were multiple nights there where we ended up pushing back the couch in the living room to make sure we knew the steps and got our practice in and made sure that everything was on track.
And we had it, you know, nailed. And there was this one move where Gavin would tip my chair back and I'd sort of be resting on his knee. And then on the day of the wedding, you can see his face go, oh, because I'd slipped just down slightly, ever so slightly on his knee. And I didn't fall or anything. Like, nobody else noticed. It was just the two of us that we could laugh about later and just be able to look back on our wedding video and see that slight in Gav's face.
The impending doom.
Just a little bit further.
What have I done?
Being real bad.
Am I going to drop my wife, literally?
Yep. And another standout for me was Cody from Bellingdale.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't believe she works there any longer, but the Bellingdale staff just in general were incredible. They were so, so accommodating for everything that we needed. We had another guy there, one of Sean's friends, who's recently come across some difficult times with his health. And at the end of the day, once Sean was finished in the bridal room, they basically converted that room to a dark room so he could go into a space where he could break out and relax and unwind with his condition. So that was really important for us.
That's
as well.
Amazing.
But also being aware of any needs that he had prior to as well, they were really keen to understand exactly what his limitations and needs were. And our package actually came with three villas for the night, and our friends stayed in one of the villas, and they were like, okay, food. Yep, they're staying. Great, we'll make another ramp. So just being so open to cater to any of the needs of any of our guests, they just really embraced, which was really nice.
That's amazing, and I think that's what I wanted to end the discussion with was talking to you about what it's like planning an accessible wedding or creating a wedding that is accessible for guests, because it's not something that is ever talked about and I think it needs to be talked about. Let's start with the industry itself. Did you come up against any barriers around planning a wedding that suited your needs?
I think that from what I have found from both looking at venues and also attending weddings previously, I'm not sure what the legal requirements are, but I have come across a number of places that don't even have a wheelchair accessible bathroom. So yeah. I had to leave the wedding, go find a servo or a Macca's to then be able to go to the bathroom, or I will just not have any liquids. End up with, a migraine at the end of the night and, you know, be quite well because they haven't necessarily thought about inclusivity. So I think that asking the question would be a really great place to start around, do you have any guests that have any disabilities or any special needs or any requirements, anyone who even has had a recent injury that might need some access considerations, really, but asking that question a priority to the couple who they've created their wedding guest list. You know, they have a lot of love for their guests and would want to make them feel as comfortable as possible. So I think that in terms of the wedding industry and what they could do, ask the question.
Yeah.
Make sure your venue is compliant with having access ramps, bathrooms, not just looking at that as an opportunity to have an extra storage space. I've also come across bathrooms that I couldn't use because they were just packed full of boxes and things that they didn't need for the particular event.
Yep.
And another thing that I've come across since being with Sean was even just pathways, you know. Yeah. Paved pathways are a big thing. Bellingdale, again, wasn't necessarily the most accessible venue for us in that sense because there was cobblestone paths, there was grass, there was all these other different aspects there as well. But the main areas in which we needed to get around in, we could get around in because there wasn't that crusher dust style pavement. It was paved. Yep. It was actual material that was not going to degrade and fall away for us, and Sean is in a white wedding dress, so the last thing you want to do is get that dirty.
And just dust. Yeah,
so,
yep.
So that was, and being in her chair, you know, Sean's dresses and all that sort of stuff does get dirty really easily from her wheels.
Yep.
So the venue was great in that sense, that there was, even in the event of rain, there was a different option for us that was out of the weather and wouldn't involve us getting on the grass and wouldn't involve Sean getting into areas that would be too muddy and too
yep.
Trying to find another way here than muddy.
You don't want to get stuck on your exactly. wedding day, do you, in the exactly. mud? Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
What about to couples that, because as we know, not every disability is visible. What do you have advice for in couples that are planning a day with a disability or do have access needs when approaching planning a wedding?
I think that just ask the question. A lot of times for me, I haven't said something because it's, you know, it's not about me, it's about them. But then
yeah.
upon reflection, it's like, well, actually, these people love me enough to have me at their wedding. Why wouldn't I say, hey, could I even speak to the venue myself, or would you mind asking, I need these requirements. Would you mind asking if they have an accessible bathroom or whatever it is that your needs are, but not being, I think communication is probably the most important thing, and creating that dialogue. If it's for the couple, if you know somebody has any particular needs, and asking, okay, well, what are they? Just taking it as an opportunity to learn more, to
yeah.
make that person feel really valued and you're really wanted in that moment.
Yep.
And if you're a guest, just recognising that you are there, you've been invited for a reason, and your voice and your needs are really important, and it's not taking away from the couple and their day, because it's adding to it, because then they yep. don't have to worry or look back and look at what could I have done better or differently. Because you've had that conversation. Yeah. Yeah, so.
And as we know, improving access for one person can improve it for everyone. So, you know.
Exactly. So it's not just people with disabilities that need certain requirements. It's, you know, the elderly people at your wedding may actually need a ramp to get up inside, or they may need some yeah. a different form of access or a seat or something to sit on. And it provides access for multiple different people.
Yeah. So I touched on what venues could do and vendors could do in regards to accessibility in weddings. Is there anything you'd like to see shift in the industry around accessibility?
I think I would say be more forthright about asking the questions. You talk about so much yeah. about what the couple wants for their day, but then making, do you have any guests that have any accessibility requirements? Whatever their needs may be, having that question from the outset, I think it would be really helpful, because it plants the seed as well for the couple mm-hmm. who, you know, it may not have been on their mind at that point.
Yeah.
But not just that, it's also like having that information readily accessible on websites, you know, having...
It's not though, is it? It's so difficult to find.
And you've really got to kind of dig in, and we spend a lot of time on Instagram or on Facebook looking at things like photos of...
Squinting to see, is there a ramp? Can you see a ramp?
Yeah, all of these pretty photos of weddings and some of that really important information that we need to see about, is that threshold flat? Can we navigate that easily? Can we...
How wide is the door frame?
How wide are doorways? That sort of thing, you know. Accessibility requirements need to become more visible in this world.
Yeah. Sorry, Shan, you were about to say something.
And I think just being so willing to actually work with people when they do actually raise information that would be, that becomes a requirement. Bell & Dale did it really well. And I think that there are other venues that could really learn a lot from how they approached our situation and take that as a learning opportunity to really get into the nitty gritty and ask the questions and not just make an assumption that, you know, they are compliant or they understand accessibility, when it's not a box. It's about every person has different needs.
Yes.
And not making any assumptions.
Yeah. So that's a really wonderful note to end on, apart from what I'm about to ask you next, because I feel like you've just given us so much amazing advice and I'm really, really grateful for it because I think it's so important to hear it from the people who are experiencing it rather than anyone else. So thank you so much for that. What is next for you two? What are your plans for the future ahead? If you can plan in a pandemic, I realise this question is slightly odd in the middle of a pandemic.
I think at the moment we're really busy with work, and I'm about to start my master's, so that's gonna that work-life balance. We'll see where that goes, but I think for us, we're really keen to. I think a lot of people after COVID are really keen to become healthier selves and the best versions of themselves.
Yeah,
we want to be able to get back out there and travel, but also to look, you know, take that next step and maybe start a family in the, maybe not like right now, but in the future as well.
And I think I really want us to get back to New Zealand and kind of mm-hmm. reach out and do something that we wanted to do in New Zealand, but in a slightly different way now. You know, we were talking about, you know, how do we maybe get our family, some of our really close family over to New Zealand as a holiday together, and then do a unique style dinner or something over there for us to yeah. really bring back that connection for somewhere that we both found really beautiful.
Oh, I love that. Well, I thank you so much, both of you, to taking the time today. It was such a wonderful chat, and you gave so much amazing information as well, and I really, really appreciate that.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
A big thank you to Gavin and Sian for taking the time to chat with us today. I'm so thankful that they were able to share so much amazing wisdom with us. You can find more about their day, including their photos and all of the vendor credits, over on polkadotwedding.com/podcast. We've also included the pieces that we've worked on with Sian over there, including how to have an accessible wedding. And these pieces are must-reads if you're in the midst of planning your day. If you have enjoyed today's episode, we would love your ratings, your stars, your likes, your reviews, and any feedback you'd love to give us. We have so many amazing guests yet to come on our podcast, and we would love your support. So we can't wait for you to meet them. Keep tuning in. We'll be back soon.